walk of the Lord is always a work that challenges us to go beyond what we hear, what we see, what we feel, by faith into the presence of the Almighty. And let's do that this morning. Father, no matter what surrounds us, you are the only true reality. You are the way, the truth, the life, manifested in flesh of your Son. And now you are with us today. Even I'm thinking of what Brother Branham said in Souls in Prison. And here you are among us, and our senses don't declare it, but there's a reality here, because we know that where your children are, you are. We thank you for that grace that is new to us this morning. Let us break into your presence, Father. Let us break behind the veil, so that we truly may commune with you, truly may sit in your presence and hear your voice. Lord, otherwise we are meeting in vain. We commit ourselves into your hands now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks. You may be seated. Was just in the Sunday school room praying with Brother Josh, and he was telling me what you guys have gone through in the last 12 hours. And just, this world is not our home.
Amen.
Neither is it friendly towards us. And it's not our friend. There is nothing in the physical realm here that helps us with our walk with God. He says, I've blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I think that's what the church is, the true church of the living God, is called to. People get caught in the flesh. People get caught in this realm. People, I've used this expression many times, but I see it around me, talking to the people of the world. They're locked into a dimension. Locked into this dimension, and this is the only reality they know of. This is the only reality that they see. And what an incredibly tragic thing. So you thank God that he has given you ears to hear and eyes to see, that we can go beyond whatever, because what is here now in this physical realm that you will have to fight through to get to him will increase. The battle will not get easier, I don't believe, but we got a challenge.
Amen.
From the Lord, by the way. Last week, we had a thought that I was trying to get to us that where are we called to, and where is the Lord taking us? And we were looking specifically into the temple, and we saw what Brother Branham was preaching in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series, Revelation chapter 4, part 2, that he says the Lutherans were the outer court. in the court of the flesh. Methodist Pilgrim Holiness and those people were in the, or they were, he actually says, the holy place, but that's as far as they could go. And he told us the way into the most holy place, and this is where we were looking, what is that way in. And last time we were reading from 2 Peter chapter 1 as a text. And just a couple verses there. It's again the statue of the stature of a perfect man. So it is very clear that we are saved by grace, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost to become something, not just to believe. Okay, because 2 Peter is, if anybody's questioning, tell them to read that. What do you do with these things? That add, because in verse 8, it says, if these things be in you and abound. Okay, now that's a big word there. It's not, are they there? Are they there, number one? Well, how many would even say they're there? But if they're there is one thing, and there and abounding is something else. Mm-hmm. There's life there. There is life manifesting, growing the person that is there. So verse 8 says, let's stand up, would you? We'll just read a few verses here. Okay. For if these things be in you and abound, they show that the revelation of Jesus Christ in you has not been idle. Okay. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. But he that lacks these things is blind. So there's a sight here, there's a perception. What are you seeing? And you cannot see afar off. Well, what can you see then? You see what is near. You see what is in front of you. You see what is in this dimension. And you judge everything according to that, and you totally lose out. Okay? So if these things aren't in you, you're really not where God saved you to be. Okay, that he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Forgotten that he was purged. Forgotten that he was purged. What were you purged for? You were purged to become the stature of a perfect man. Okay, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So here's what he's telling you. Are these there? Are they abounding? Are they growing? If they are, your election's sure. If they aren't, something's missing terribly. Okay? If you do these things, if you add, okay, the characteristics of the stature, you shall never fall. Okay, but God is working. So verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, quicken us to your word and quicken your word to us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. If you would ask again, the people around you, say, just go up to your fellow Christians. What is the Lord doing today? What would they answer? Most people, I don't have a clue. Is he doing something? Is he doing anything? And we know that he's answering the prayer of his son, as one of those things. John chapter 17, making him and his church one. And we know that has to do with sight, okay? Sight. And sight is grace. Sight is a gift, okay? Let's go back to Matthew 13, where the disciples say, why are you speaking to the people in parables? Because it is given unto you to know the mystery. I'm at chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 11. Because it is given unto you to know, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You're going to know something they don't know. So, okay? And here's what he says in the next verse, 12, for whosoever hath what? Hath something inside of him to receive, something from the Lord to hear, to see, he that hath to him shall be given, and he'll have more. Now that's stature of a perfect man. He's going to keep giving. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even the little bit that he has. Okay? He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, here it is again, remember they're blind. Seeing, they don't see anything. Seeing, they see not. How can you see and not see? Because it's a spiritual sight, it's a perception. Right? You with me? So my question this morning, along with an entrance minister, is seeing, you see. Because he says seeing, they don't see. In other words, they see something, but they don't see what God wants them to see. Okay? Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they what? They don't hear. They really don't understand. They don't make it out. Now, if you go to the first seal, where Brother Branham talks about the foolish virgin, and he says, he says, they just can't make out. They see something going on. Now, that's like Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He sees something, but he can't quite make out what's there. We know that you are a man sent from God, because no man can do those works. But what's going on here? I don't know. I can't understand. Jesus says you must be born again. And his mind is blown. What do you want me to do? Go back into my mother's womb somehow? He's thinking carnally. He is seeing carnally. He's seeing in the flesh. And he's not seeing one thing because he can't. Because he doesn't even understand being born again. And at that time, none of the disciples were born again either, but they did. Okay? Back to Matthew 13, just this verse 16, for blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, you hear what other people cannot hear. You see what most people cannot see. Now, because it's given. All right. John chapter 16, these are just some verses that came to my attention from the Lord. Okay? There came a time, even before the Holy Ghost was given, where the disciples are starting to see at least to a degree, and they understood that he was the Son of God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. You see something most people can't. You are the Christ. You're the anointed. You're the Messiah. Okay? It was given to him. So if you go to John chapter 16, and go to verse 27. That's a pretty telling verse. Actually, it's a little bit frightening, to be honest with you. For he says, the Father himself loves you. Why? Read the next phrase. Because what? Because you love me. Now, the Father loves those who love the Son and know something about it. Something's revealed to them. So what about everybody else that doesn't see that? God so loved the world. It's His will that none should perish. But who's He going to work with? Who's He going to deal with? Those that can see, those who are not blind, those who have something in them that is life, that is growing, that is doing something, taking them into the image. Okay? 27, again, would you read it out loud with me? For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and what? Believed what? That I came out from God. They saw something. They perceived something. Well, what about the other people that didn't perceive that? Did He love them too? But He says, the Father loved you because. You're one that shows that you're one of His seed. It shows you that there's one of His children because He has given you an understanding of a happening. Now, here is this thing that we must understand when it comes to the things of God. When you see something and you see human flesh, like they saw Jesus, they see, aha, that's not just a man. Okay? That's not just a man. That's God doing something. Now, from going to this place, that's just a man, to God is doing something, they're seeing there is a spiritual happening, there is a spiritual act of something going on, and to perceive that is life. Correct? Now, my mind is going crazy here, but go to... let me just, while I'm here. Look at this and look at that. Okay, why do we have that here? People who walk in the door who do not understand, and even people who have been intimidated, because even some of the brothers over the years says, take that down. I have said, you take that down, take me out. I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Oh, you're worshiping a man? I said, no, I'm not.
Amen.
I said, that is a spiritual happening.
That's right.
That happening is God.
That's right.
Oh, that's God. No, that's not God at all. No. He's just a man.
That's right.
But the happening,
amen,
the thing that's going on is God.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
There's a difference between life and death right there, brothers and sisters.
Right.
Okay? It's a happening. This is a spiritual happening. Am I ashamed of spiritual happenings in our day? No. Okay, because again, we have to see Him. Now, along with this, go back in your mind, John 16. The Father loves you because you see, because you love Me, and you know I came from out from. Isn't that that's a mouthful. You believed I came out from God. Now, to look at flesh and to have that spiritual understanding is phenomenal. Out from God. Not you're blessed by God. Not God is in you. Come on, you guys, this is totally different. You came out. There is a man and you came out from God. What? How can the brain just collapses in a heap and a mess on the floor without the Spirit of God? Okay? So that is why, come with me now to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're talking about what God is doing again where we were last week, the temple. And our question and entrance is being ministered unto us. Into what? The most holy place. Okay. So that's, so we're tying these things together. I don't want to lose you. Are you with me? But you have to have sight. The way into the most holy place is sight. Spiritual sight. not physical sight. Spiritual hearing, not physical hearing. Okay? There is a spiritual happening going on with you, making you into the stature of a perfect man. There is a spiritual happening in you that they know nothing about because they don't even understand it. And you can feel it, you can know it, you can sense it, you can see it going on inside of your soul, inside of your spirit, inside of your heart. God's doing something in me. He won't let me do anything that's not word. He won't let me think thoughts that are not word thoughts. And they just go, well, I believe in Jesus. Why isn't that enough? And they're totally, totally gone. Okay, so here, again, the way in ministered to us is God is ministering sight. Okay, spiritual sight. God is ministering to you spiritual ears to hear spiritual things that the world knows nothing about.
Amen.
To the rest, he speaks in parables, little stories. And even in this message, how much they like the little stories and they're content to stay there. And they don't see and don't understand, and there's not a ministry, an entrance being ministered into very many, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm not trying to make the circle smaller at all. I would love to make it bigger. I have nothing to do with that. I am just glad, and you should be incredibly glad, that God is working on my sight. God is working in my ears, and I would that he would work in everybody around me. So let me be that light. Let me be that salt that would maybe perhaps give them a little spiritual thirst, that when they see you, oh, I want to be that way too. You can, because it's for whosoever will. Right? Whosoever will. All right. 1 Peter 2. Sight. Verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Okay. What part of the house are you? Are you the outer court? Are you the holy place? Where do you belong in this house? Are you the outer curtains? The court of the Gentiles? Where are you? You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is contained in the scripture, okay, behold, I lay in Zion. Now, he's building a house, and his next thought goes to the cornerstone of the house. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore that believe, he's precious. Why? John 16, okay, verse 27 that we read. The Father loves you because you see something. You don't think something is precious if you don't esteem a value to that thing. Other people will look at the same thing that you look at and said, oh. Okay, it's just like, remember how Brother Branham says, I'm going to shake the whole world? Remember how he talks about that? Okay, and he says, the trees of the leaves shall clap their hands, and all nature will rejoice, and out comes here this stinky little fuzzy man guy out of the desert with locust juice running down his beard. Huh? So small. And people look at that and say, you're disgusting. That's exactly the way they looked at Jesus. Okay, unto you therefore that believe, verse 7, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And what? A stone of what? Okay, and a rock of what? So to somebody, he is precious, and they would give their lives for him. To another person, you're an offense. Okay? So here we have the same thing in the Omega of this revelation. Some people just say, they'll look at this picture, oh, you're just following a man. You're nothing, no different than the Mormons. Yeah. You're just worshiping a man. No. Actually, he has nothing to do with it. He was just there when that appeared, but the Lord chose to appear and identify with his vocal cords coming out of him. This is a spiritual happening, and this spiritual happening is me. Do you see the difference? One, see a spiritual happening and say that is eternal life going on there. The other one, see with their eyes and just see a man, a hillbilly, can't talk very good, and it's a rock of offense again, because it always has been. Which of the prophets have they not killed? Right? Which one have they not just looked into the flesh and been disgusted with? But it's a matter of seeing. So here he is, verse 8 again, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereto what?
They were appointed.
That's a little bit frightening, isn't it? Show that to your friends. So some of people are appointed to be offended. Some people are appointed to be locked into this dimension that they only see, they only understand, they only perceive what is before them in flesh, and yet somehow you can see what they cannot see, you can hear things they could never hear, and you're in a totally different place, and your heart just screams and cries out for them, oh God, open their eyes. And if it's not happening in you, something's wrong with you. Because that's what Jesus died for. Okay? He loved them all. He's good to them all. How many that are mocking him and spitting in his face does he get up and give breath to this morning? How many that are sick and he heals them though they hate him? You understand? It's his heart. God is love. So here we are on this perception again. And I'm going to, again, let's go, because I mentioned Nicodemus, let's go to John chapter 3 again. And we know verse 2, here's poor old Nicodemus, good man. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Now, notice those words. God is with him. What did we read in John chapter 16, verse 27? The Father loves you because you love me and know, not God's with me. There's a big difference. I came out from God. That's a spiritual revelation. To say God is with you is one thing. To say you came out from God is totally different. Okay? So Jesus tells him he must be born again. Right? And he can't understand anything. And I'll be honest with you, if you look at verses 11, 12, and 13, would stumble most of us. Verily I say unto you, we speak what that we know. Yeah, and he did. And testify of that which what?
We've seen.
We testify this has spiritual sight, spiritual vision, and you don't receive, you don't believe what I'm telling you, because you can't see it. What do you see? You see something totally different. Totally different eyesight. Then he says, if I have told you earthly things and believe not, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If no man hath, and no man hath ascended to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, and there he is standing there right in front of him. Now how is that? You got to go beyond human thinking and human logic and human sight. And then he goes to this. Moses, why did he insert this here? Because it's a type of Christ. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, what was Numbers 21? Speaking of the brass serpent. Let's go back there. It was their unbelief. It was their complaining. Let's start with verse 4. And this is a warning to every one of us. Okay? And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You ever feel that way? It's hard, it's long, and it's tired. Okay? Let's grumble a little bit. Let's complain. And this people spake against God and against Moses. Now, you be careful of that. He's God's man. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. There's no water. You've given us manna and we hate it. So, remember when we started out, how many times we've gone over this. God says, I'm going to take you from point A to point B. I'm taking you, but I don't tell you what's in between, which is trials. If you wouldn't believe A and you believe B, that you'll be in the promised land, somehow he's going to take me through that. Okay? If I truly believe I'm going to be there, nothing's here in between. It's a trial. But there's no water. Now, we're Laodicean slobs. I'm going to be honest with you. We really are. Turn on a, push a button and the lights come on. Turn on the tap and the hot water. You know, you go out in the wilderness. Get away from all your comforts. And all of a sudden you're cold and there's no blanket. There's the sun and there's no shelter. All of a sudden there's you're thirsty and there's no water. How long would you last before you complain? There's hungry and there's no food around. It's a desert. There's nothing to hunt. How long would you last before you fell into the same place that they did? Why'd you bring us here? Why are we here? Something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Right? Now, we've got to remember that when God takes us through these things. All right. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and they bit the people, and many people died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord Jesus Christ, and what else? Against thee. Hey, this is a spiritual happening. You understand? That's a spiritual happening. It's not a man. It's not, I'm worshiping a man. That's a spiritual. God's speaking. That's God's choice. And that's happening is for me to receive it is life. And they said, guess what? We have spoken against that. Okay? So he says, pray that he take away the serpents. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make you a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looks upon it, shall live. Now, Jesus inserted that right there, speaking of himself as a type. But I want to go into a couple quote what Brother Branham remarks on that, because Brother Branham sings the song many, many times that we know, look and live, my brother, live. And he says it so many times, just look and live. Okay? There's more to it than that. It's a looking with a spiritual perception. Would you listen to this quote, please? When God made his first statue for healing, it was a piece of brass on a pole in the wilderness. Okay? Now, there was no virtue in the brass or in the pole, but it was an ordinance of God. Aha, there's a difference. It was an ordinance of God. Again, no one knew just how it worked. It was just look by faith. Something's there. This is a spiritual happening. Well, it looks ludicrous in the flesh, in the mind. Okay? No one knew just how it worked. It was look by faith. It represented, there you go. You with me? It represented something. It was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ who would come to the earth to be our sin and sickness bearer. Later on, after the days of the serpent, God sent an angel down from heaven and troubled the water on a pool called Bethesda. And ever who stepped into that water first, having faith, was healed. Okay, now listen to what he says. Now the brass serpent done no healing. It was their faith in what God had done by the brass serpent. Is that right? The water done no healing. It was the angel of God on the water that done the healing. The water couldn't say, see, I'm healing water. Catholics. Yeah. Now, what are they doing in this day? You want a little triangle from the floor of the room? You want to? Come on, look at what they're doing. Making relics, Catholic spirit all over again. The water couldn't say, I'm healing water. No, it was an angel doing the healing. When the angel left, the water was just water. Listen, and a man is just a man until he's fully submitted to God. And then deity dwells in that man, the Holy Spirit, not the man, but God in the man does the work. So Jesus then, when he came, he was born of a virgin birth. His mother was Mary. His father was Jehovah God. You believe that? And in that body, God dwelt. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It's not me that does the works. It's the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. And that was God speaking through mortal lips that could raise the dead, still the waters. Okay. Now, Brother Vail used to teach all the time, he says, you make too much of the vessel. You have to go beyond the vessel to what's in the vessel. Remember that. Look at what God is doing, and that's exactly what Brother Branham is saying in these quotes. Okay. Here's another quote. Yeah. We pray, Heavenly Father, that these sick people crippled, blind, lame, whatever it might be, passes through the line, may they realize spiritual happening, that the very God that knows the secret of the heart will heal them if they will only accept it, if they will only look. What are we talking about? Spiritual sight and understand. The man that looked upon the brass serpent as a piece of brass, he would never be healed. Listen, because he didn't understand what it was. Oh, here's the brass. I'm looking at that brass. Brass, heal me. Nothing happened. Today the Lord, the same, if they look upon a gift to think that it might be able to help them, listen, they don't have understanding. Isn't that interesting? It's on the vindication of the presence of God that's here to heal. God grant it, Father. So what are we talking about? Are you lacking these things? You're blind. You're not seeing right. So we're talking about spiritual sight. So if they looked at the piece of brass and they were locked into this dimension and, oh, there's a piece of brass. But if they looked and say, oh, there's a happening here. Remember that. This is a happening. That is a happening. That is not God. You see where people get tripped? That happening, that's God. What's going on? That's God. That's not God. There's a difference between life and death right there, brothers and sisters.
Right.
Same thing up there with the cloud. So, here we're going on and we're asking the question, what is it that we takes us into that place, okay? So again, oh, I'm sorry, I was going back to John chapter 3. Okay? And here's Nicodemus. Jesus trying to help him, give him spiritual sight. Not carnal understanding. You can say, God is with you, that's carnal understanding. You can say, this man came out from God, that's not carnal understanding. That's a spiritual happening. And that's life. You with me? Okay. So verse 14 again, as Moses lifted up the brass, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. What was it? Look and live. Look upon this brass serpent. Not as a piece of brass, but as a happening of God, as a word of God, as an ordinance of God given to you, okay? With that spiritual sight. So Jesus says, look at me and live. Now, Brother Branham says that. Just look and live. But it's looking with a spiritual understanding at a happening of God. You with me?
Amen.
Now, we're talking this because this is, go get this out and listen to it again, Unveiling of God. And all of this is in there. But keep getting to a place. Now, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And people look at the same thing you look at, and they'll say, you're crazy. Because they're not seeing what you see. People will hear the same voice you hear, and they say, you're nuts. People will look at this and they will not see a spiritual happening. They will see a man Oh, look at that man's making too much of himself. Oh, look at what that meant. They get caught in the veil. And Brother Branham warned them over and over, you have to go through it, the veil. It's death. And that's exactly what's happening around us. They're getting caught in the veil and they're dying.
That's right.
So again, we left, and I don't, what time is it? Huh? Okay, got a few more minutes. So I'll go back where we were last time. I was hoping to get farther. We'll go, there's always next week, isn't there? Are you with me today?
Amen.
You seeing this? Hebrews chapter 9, again, brothers and sisters. I think this is one of the most critical chapters in the New Testament. I love the whole New Testament. Hebrews is my book. I keep thinking, Paul, who had this revelation, Brother Branham makes this statement. Paul had such an incredible revelation of Jesus Christ that he wrote the book of Hebrews. Isn't that an interesting statement? His revelation of Jesus Christ was so profound, he wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm trying to figure out where verse 9, where Paul makes it so clear what's going on under the blood. So we're talking about a spiritual happening, right?
Amen.
Is that what we're talking about today?
Amen.
Sight to see spiritual happening. What God is doing. Again, go to your friends out there. Even around you, say, what's God doing today? I hear a prophecy. Would it come to pass? No. But they sure sound spiritual. Oh, they love to worship. What's God doing today? Well, okay. Chapter 9 again. We're back in the temple. Not the outer courts. Okay. We're going in verse 3, the second veil. And after that, after the second veil, verse 3. Okay. Of the tabernacle is called the holiest of all. That's where Paul goes right to. Okay. He says, what's in there? There's a room. The ceiling, the walls, the floor are made out of cedar, humanity, overlaid with gold. Same as the ark itself, humanity overlaid with gold. And he says, what's in there? The golden pot of manna, living bread. Aaron's rod, life. And the tables of the covenant. Okay? So you have the word, but not the word. The life of the word is there in the ark to bring it to the people. Again, someday I'd love to hear what Brother Branham says. I think we will on the other side. He says, over at the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now particularly speak. That's what Brother Branham said. I want to spend 2 months on that. Those cherubims. Now, he goes into the holy place again with verse 7. Into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Verse 8. This was a type. This was a picture. The Holy Ghost is trying to tell us something through the picture. What was he trying to tell you? The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was staying. What's he tell you right there? There's a way in. Not for only the high priest, but for you. But while that was there, you couldn't go in. Okay? The way into the holiest. Why would he even say that? So is there a way into the holiest place? Into the presence of God? Yeah. Okay, what's the key? which was a figure for the time then present, in which was offered both gifts and sacrifices. And here's the key. I'll never forget when God quickened this to me, and I've been stuck here on this verse ever since, for years now. Okay? What is the Holy Ghost trying to say? These things, the Holy Ghost, verse 8, signifying, he's trying to tell us something. You couldn't go in, but there's coming a time when you will be able to get in, but here's the clue how to get in. It's what he's telling us. It's exactly what Brother Branham preaches. He's a word prophet. Verse 9, which is a figure of for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make, read it out loud with him, did the service perfect as pertaining to what?
The conscience.
The conscience. In other words, I cannot go in without a perfect conscience. True?
Right.
Now, what a statement is that? So the way into the holy place, the way into the very presence of God is not for me until he makes something in my conscience pure. That's the word of God. Now, why don't you hear that preached, brother? Why isn't that in the Pentecostal service? Who's going before God and say, oh God, I want to come into your presence. I said, well, I am in your presence. Hallelujah. Bless God. We are in his presence. The way into that most holy place is not possible until he perfects what? My conscience. How's he going to perfect my conscience? So he goes on down there. Okay. Verse 11 then. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Brother, these verses are for the bride. Do you understand that? This is bride food. Paul spoke 2,000 years ago, roughly, but it's coming to pass in these days at this time. Christ being a high priest, Melchizedek is here to do something, to bless you, to give you the bread of life and the wine of the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
Melchizedek is here. God coming. What? In the form of human flesh to give to the elect. Who else did Melchizedek appear to? He appeared to one man. The elect of God, the man that had the promise, which is, okay? And his seed, Jesus Christ. And we, through Jesus Christ, are that royal seed.
Amen.
So Melchizedek comes again. Who is this Melchizedek? Who is it? Who is he coming to offer bread and wine to? And what's that bread and wine going to do? Oh! It's going to cleanse and open eyes and Amen. Give ears and open up to see. And he's taking you places. Well, where did Russ go? Well, I don't know. He went crazy. Where did Greg go? Well, he went crazy too. What about Norman? Oh yeah, he's out in left field. Leave him alone. Right? In the world's they cannot understand these things. So what's going on? He's taking you to a place. Okay. But Christ come a high priest of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. He's talking about buildings. He's talking about spiritual blessings, buildings, spiritual places, spiritual things, spiritual places. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Redemption, I'm buying you back so you can go there. Okay, for if the blood and bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the what?
Flesh.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without purge or what? Purge or what? I can't go out until my conscience has been purged. Do you see where we're at? Do you see what we've been talking? My memory. My imagination. And it's here. There. And this is exactly what Brother Branham says here and there. It's the Word of God. Why don't you hear that preached? What's he doing? I'm sorry, Brother Derek.
1864.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unveiling of God. You understand? I cannot get in until my conscience is purged. I cannot go. And the blood's doing that. The blood's doing what? Oh, I believe in Jesus. I'm under the blood. Hallelujah. Not one thing is done. There's no conscience being touched, right? Huh? What do I say all the time? Look around you. Where do you see people that have a conscience anymore? They can do anything. No conscience, nothing bothers them. They can watch anything, nothing bothers them. They can say anything and nothing bothers them. Why? Does that frighten you a little bit? And you have something and you just say a little thing off, oh, your heart is smitten. Why? That wasn't me. That was your thoughts, not mine. I won't let you do that anymore. Oh, you're a weirdo, right? Oh, my goodness, where he's taking us. What is the Lord doing now? So you go to chapter 10. The most critical things, what is the blood of the covenant doing, huh? What is the blood of the covenant? Well, I believe in Jesus, I'm under the blood. Hallelujah, let's go have a beer. Let's put on a movie. Let's pussyfoot around with the world. Yeah. Okay? By one offering, the Hebrews 10, again, how many years have we done this? Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever. Done deal. Nothing could be added, nothing. It's a perfect sacrifice. Them that are in a continuous act of the Holy Spirit working in them, not sanctified, but being sanctified. Continuous is that tense there. Continuing prince. So, what does that tell you? What is God doing? The Holy Spirit is taking those people who have been perfect under the blood of Jesus. And he says, I'm going to do something with you that are perfect under the blood. And in those, I'm going to continue this ongoing sanctification. So what does the blood do? Now this is the second time, verse 15, read that first phrase. Wherefore the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. What did we read in verse 9? Okay, verse 8, chapter 9, verse 8. The Holy Ghost signifies. The Holy Ghost is trying to tell us something. The Holy Ghost is trying to speak to us. What is he trying to speak to us? The Holy Ghost is a witness. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the true baptism? If you have the true baptism, something is happening. Okay? What's happening if you have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is a witness, for after he has said, before, this is the covenant I will make with them in that day. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. Where's their minds? What's your mind? Your conscience. What's he have to do to get me in? Purge my conscience. What's he going to write in here? My conscience. He's going to take out my thoughts and put his word. Amen. He's going to take out my reasoning and put his word. He's going to take out my affections and put his word. Where's he going to do that in my... Why didn't he say here? It's both. Okay? In other words, what God is coming to you personally, and he says, Greg, let me imprint myself in you. Let me write myself all over your heart, all over your mind, all over your conscience. That's the blood of Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Now, where do you hear that preached? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Walk forward, give him your hand, you're saved. There's nothing going on. There's no spiritual happening. There has to be a spiritual happening, brothers and sisters. He that lacketh these things is blind. He cannot see. He's forgotten. I purged you. What did I purge you to do? I purged you to make you a statue of a perfect man. I purged you to imprint myself upon your mind and in your heart. I purged you to purge your conscience because you cannot come into my presence. You cannot come into that holy place with your own thoughts. You can't come unless you let me purge you. Purge your mind. Purge your heart. Write it upon me. This is the covenant I will make with them. What covenant? The covenant, this New Testament is in my blood. What is the work of the blood? Him writing himself in your heart. You understand? What are we talking about? The temple. What part are you? The outer courts? Oh, it's the Lutherans. They're the outer courts. Oh, it's the Pilgrim Holiness. It's the Methodists. It's the Baptists. Oh, yeah, they're in the holy place, but they won't go any farther. So what part are you? What part are you called into? And how do you get there? He tells you, this is an entrance is ministered into us, into the everlasting kingdom where he reigns. He reigns what? He rules over my mind. He rules over my heart. He rules over my imagination, my conscience. There's the way into the most holy place. Your conscience must be purged. There's no other way. Oh, we'll continue next week. Heavenly Father, thank you because this is a spiritual happening in this day.
Amen.
You are working in the minds and the hearts of your children. You're imprinting yourself. You're inscribing yourself. It's you. It's what you died to do. How much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ through the eternal Spirit purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh God, let us be, our eyes be opening to these spiritual happenings and not be caught in the flesh where once again, as it was in other times, he's a man. There's no spiritual happening there. There's just an old crank. Badger skin, pretty ugly. But God, you've called us to go beyond the veil, to see what's going on behind that curtain. You've called us into the most holy place because you're purging our conscience. And that's the work of your blood. There is actually the blood covenant, taking out my thoughts and putting in yours. Taking out my ways and putting in yours. Quicken this to us, Lord, please. Even lift up right now Josh and the teenagers there. Oh, God, work. Oh, Heavenly Father, we lift up our families, our loved ones, and we just plead the token over them. The Holy Ghost, the life of the Word, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, if people would just listen to that voice and sit still long enough, let me write my Word. Let me inscribe myself in your mind and in your heart. Grant it, Father. ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. No wonder Paul says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. No wonder he says, lay it down. Mm-hmm. Lay down the flesh, right? Lay it down. May it be a living sacrifice unto our God. Can we sing that chorus, Sister Karen? Consume me, Lord. Consume me, Lord, by the... Would you stand with me? Consume me, Lord, by the power. Consume me, Lord, and make me more like you. Pieces of my life, let me be used, Lord. Amen. Take us, Lord. We feel like we're vessels in the hands of the potter. Like you said to Israel, you have to be broken and remolded and made. But oh, you're making something that is pleasing to your sight. You're the one whose hands were in. You're the one that's doing the shaping. And we, the clay, doesn't have anything to do with the shape it's going to be. It's the hands of the potter. And the heart of the potter and the mind of the potter that says, I'm going to make you thus. And I'm thinking of 2 Timothy and the houses. There's vessels unto dishonor and vessels unto honor. May we be found as vessels unto honor, made for the Master's use. Us, Lord. We offer ourselves up to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.